I think one of the interesting things, and I've just seen kind of breaking news on this, was the precision in which they were able to strike sensitive targets within Jordan. And the reporting is indicating that perhaps China or Russia was feeding them targeting information. Now, we need to get to the bottom of that, particularly if we're talking about China. On the back of the news that the president just broke and declassified about them stealing over 200 million voter files from the United States and obviously interfering in our election, where they were trying to influence through media campaigns or social media people's perceptions and how they were ultimately going to vote. China is our adversary.
This is my video update on this Sunday afternoon, July the 19th, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the big news story, which is the war with the U.S. and Iran. And yesterday we got the news that two U.S. Soldiers had been killed, confirmed, in strikes into Jordan. One U.S. Military personnel was also injured in the Iranian strikes into Jordan. We've had a lot of Iranian strikes into Jordan over the past week. Yesterday, I talked about how Iranian strikes into Jordan had injured many U.S. soldiers. A strike from a couple of days ago, according to the New York Times, injured six or eight U.S. soldiers in Jordan. And there's a reason why Iran is hitting Jordan so hard. They're hitting Bahrain and Kuwait. They've gone after Saudi Arabia as well. They went after a bridge in Saudi Arabia in retaliation for the U.S., targeting three bridges in Iran. But Iran is focusing on Jordan. And according to the New York Times and other military analysts as well, the reason that Iran is focusing so much on Jordan is because the United States has concentrated most of its military forces and its resources in Jordan. During the ceasefire, the MOU, and the negotiations, what the U.S. military did is that it moved most of its military assets and its personnel to Jordan. They left much of the Gulf countries, the bases in the Gulf region in and around Iran, and they took all of that and concentrated it to Jordan. The U.S. believed that Jordan would be safer. It would not be out of the range of Iranian weapons and Iranian strikes, but it would be out of the way of precision Iranian strikes, and also the Gulf countries. They were not so hot on continuing to host U.S. personnel on their territories in the bases because of the fear that if and when the conflict were to restart, the countries in the Gulf region would be targeted by Iran immediately. And so there was that factor as well. But basically, the U.S. military, the Pentagon, decided that Jordan was a safer place to have their military forces operate out of. And Iran has been able to hit Jordan with precision. And this is worrying the Pentagon and the U.S. military. And they've been hitting Jordan very hard. The Wall Street Journal claims that one of the reasons that Iran is able to hit Jordan, to hit targets in Jordan with precision and with accuracy, is because of Russia and China. The Wall Street Journal, according to their sources, they claim that it is Russia and China that is providing much of the targeting data to Iran so that they can hit with accuracy targets in Jordan, leading to the casualties in the U.S. bases. And not only military personnel, but also Black Hawk helicopters have been destroyed as well. According to the New York Times, many Black Hawk helicopters were destroyed by Iran with the recent strikes into Jordan and hitting the U.S. air bases there. There's some fish in there, but you probably can't see them. Oh, well. Anyway, Russia and China, according to the Wall Street Journal, their sources say that there's a lot of anger in the U.S., in the Pentagon, because they are providing the targeting data. And well, you know, what can you say? The Pentagon, the U.S., at least when it comes to Russia, Project Ukraine, proxy war against Russia over the last 4 years, where at a minimum, the United States has been providing targeting data to Ukraine. Allegedly, they provide the targeting data to Ukraine, and then allegedly Ukraine is firing off drones and missiles into Russian territory. The United States provides a lot more than targeting data. We know this, but now they're angry at the allegation, the claim that it is Russia and China that is helping them hit targets in Jordan. Whatever the case, Jordan has not provided the safety, has not been the buffer that the U.S. military had hoped for. Yes.
Excuse me, I must shift from Swedish to Greek or English.
Yes.
Well, we haven't missed a single standing of
the Ah, okay.
We saw live in Square, Kolonaki Square.
Ah, no.
With Alexander Merkur.
Ah, yes. 3 years ago. Ah, yeah.
And when we walk around here, we think always of you.
No, you shouldn't. When you walk around here, you shouldn't think of me. You shouldn't think about the beautiful city of Athens.
We just saw this part with the big glass.
Yeah.
After we found the art.
Yeah.
We have seen you in the beginning. You're going there. And
yeah.
The window, and we talked to you.
You're right here. Yeah. Right here in the corner, yeah.
Just a minute ago, but yeah. I couldn't imagine that you were
here. Oh, yeah. I love this park.
And not in love.
Ah, I know. I arrived yesterday. Thank you. Thank you. You don't mind if your voice is on the video, do you? Your voice, not you. Just your voice. Okay. Okay.
I am a bit ashamed about my English.
No, your English is perfect. Super. You're from Sweden?
I'm from Sweden.
You're from Sweden. Okay.
I am Athenian.
You're Athenian. Apoelada.
Apoelada.
Ah, Κεφαλονιά.
Ρίγες Κυπριώτικες επίσης.
Μάλιστα. Να είσαι καλά.
Πρέπει κάποτε να συναντηθούμε.
Βεβαίως.
Ο άντρας μου δεν μπορεί να αποφέσεις.
Find me, send me a message and we'll get together and have a coffee one day. Yes. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Your email.
Find me. You can find me. Find me and just send me a message.
Yes.
And just say we met you at the Japanese park. Okay, we'll organize. Greeks, we find a way. Absolutely. Take care. Have a great Sunday. Bye-bye. So, that's the situation in the Middle East. We have a situation with energy, with oil. And it looks like China is going to start importing oil again. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but China has has put the brakes over the past couple of months on its oil imports. And one of the reasons China put the brakes on importing oil, mostly in June, from about May to June, is because there was a coordinated stock release, oil reserve release from all countries in order to prevent the price of oil from shooting to $150 or $200. And so China was going into its, of course you had the blockade and everything as well with Iran, but basically countries decided, many of the large countries decided to go into their reserves in order to keep the price of oil down and to avoid a huge spike because of the 60-day war. A favor to the United States in a way when you think about it, but now it looks like China is ready to begin oil imports. Now this oil buffer, which is what it was, China not importing oil in the last months, when this thing expires and China starts importing oil, look out. We are going to be looking at a price surge, according to oilprice.com, probably in Q3, Q4, and it could send the price of oil skyrocketing. China could be about to remove oil's biggest safety net, inventories of crude and fuels in key markets, including the United States, are running dangerously low with no buffers left. While most of the oil from the world's biggest ever coordinated stocks release has already reached refiners. Last but not least, China may soon end its absence from crude purchases, and the decade-low crude oil import volumes from the past weeks, removing the single biggest demand buffer that capped oil price gains in March and June. The strategic petroleum reserves, that buffer is expired or is expiring. The Chinese not importing oil, keeping the price relatively low, that is about to expire, and we are going to see the price of oil shoot up over the next couple of months. That is, if this conflict continues, we are going to see the price of oil shoot up over the next couple of months, and this conflict, this war, will continue. Round three of the war between the United States and Iran is just getting started. So once China starts importing oil, and China is the biggest importer of oil, expect the price to go way past $100 a barrel. That would be my guess. That seems to be the predictions of the oil experts and of oilprice.com. The Chinese buffer, the import buffer, is set to expire. And the U.S., they do not have the SPRs to keep the price low. So, speaking of oil, we had the Ukraine military launch drone strikes into Russia yesterday, and they did hit a refinery, an oil refinery. One second. They hit the Mikhailovsk oil depot. Videos of the depot being hit by a drone. Big fires, lots of smoke. Always keep in mind that Ukraine, in order to get the videos with lots of smoke and fire, allegedly what they do with the drones is they pack a lot of kerosene in the drone so that when it does hit, you get huge smoke for the video social media effect. That is the allegation. That this is what the Alensky production team does with the drones. But anyway, they did hit the oil refinery with the drone. And this follows on yesterday's strikes into the Wildberries e-commerce warehouse, actually two warehouses they hit yesterday. This led to many casualties and eight people being killed. These were workers in the warehouse who were on the night shift when they were hit by the Ukraine drones, with targeting from probably targeting from you know who, but it was a big strike into Russia at this online e-commerce warehouse, the two warehouses. I think it was in a single day you got the most deaths inside of Russia, civilian casualties from a drone strike. That was the drones hitting the warehouses, eight people and many, many casualties from this strike inside of Russia. So the retaliation from Russia yesterday into Kiev was massive. It was absolutely massive. We're talking 40 plus missiles into Kiev. And this is according to Ukraine media, 40 plus missiles into Kiev. And there is no hiding it. Even the Ukraine media, they reported that Ukraine launched at most 15 to 16 Patriot interceptors. Oh my God. Found it. All right, I'm done. It's been fun. I've enjoyed the channel. Have a great life. I will see everybody sometime in the future. Take care. I'm just joking. But we got it. We got the cicada. Finally. Finally. But I'm not going to go anywhere. Anyway, let's continue. So the strike into Kiev was massive. The Patriot missiles that were launched, 15 to 16 interceptors. They did nothing. The reports are that Ukraine received around 40 interceptors over the past couple of weeks through all of the meetings, the G7s, the EU meetings, Le Goblin Ver, begging for interceptors from all of the collective West. Reports claim that he ended up with around 40. And they've used up 15 and they stopped nothing. I mean, 40 interceptors is, they could have used up all those 40 yesterday, but they decided to only fire off 15, and they couldn't stop the Russian missiles, the ballistic missiles. And they did a lot of damage to warehouses, storage facilities, military warehouses, oil depots, you name it, production facilities, you name it in Kiev, Russia smashed it. A lot of Flamingo facilities and production infrastructure and assembly Flamingo assembly locations. Russia targeted all of that and just completely destroyed it. And then they also hit Odessa, the port of Odessa, as well, and they continue the Black Sea blockade. So as Ukraine is launching a drone to hit an oil depot, or they're going after an e-commerce warehouse, What Russia is doing is they are completely demolishing whatever military infrastructure is now located in Kiev, which they were not doing in the past. Keep in mind that the first 4 years of the SMO and of the conflict, Russia was not going after, for the most part, not going after facilities in Kiev. So Ukraine concentrated a lot of their military production and their military facilities. They were concentrated in Kiev. Like the U.S. decided to concentrate their forces in Jordan. What Ukraine did, what NATO and the United States did, is they moved a lot of everything to Kiev in the belief that Russia would not go after these facilities. Now Russia's going after these facilities, and they're going after these facilities very hard and very, very effectively. And they've now also got a blockade on the port of Odessa. Yesterday they hit the port again. And then you had Gerasimov, who put out some statements about what is happening on the front lines. He came out with the announcement that Liman is about to be captured. What the Russian military is doing at the moment is just clearing out Liman, and this would be the next big city in the big defensive belt in the Donbas that will be captured by Russia. Liman is 17 kilometers northeast of Slavyansk. Russian military is on the outskirts of Slavyansk as well, according to Russian sources. And there are reports that the Russian military is 6 kilometers from Kramatorsk. So this was Gerasimov's statement yesterday, his big statement, which is the capture, or the inevitable capture of Liman. Units of the 25th Army are completing the liberation of the city of Krasny Liman, which is crucial for further operations on this axis. The enemy's organized defense in the town has been broken, and isolated pockets of resistance are being eliminated, he said. So Democrats have warned Congress, the Senate and the House, not to push forward with Lindsey Graham's, the now deceased Lindsey Graham's bone-crushing sanctions bill, his embargo on Russia and any countries that decide to trade with Russia, including the United States, which trades with Russia, gets a lot of resources from Russia, from fertilizer to uranium, oil, absolutely. Purchase oil, and then they sell that oil, right, at a nice big profit, not directly from Russia, but indirectly, and then they sell that oil. Everything will be marked up 100% if this sanctions embargo bill were to pass. But the Democrats, their warning is that this bill needs to be rejected, because what it will ultimately do, and the Democrats are 100% correct on this, is that it will lead to prices going up. There's a mosquito eating away at me right now. The prices will go up for the American people. Inevitably, things will go up for American citizens. And so they're saying, don't pass this bill. All it's going to end up doing is hurting us and hurting the American people. But the Republicans, they have a very good argument for passing this bill. It's a very good argument. And honestly, I have to be fair and objective. I think the Republican argument is just rock solid. They're saying that, look, the embargo, the bone-crushing sanctions bill on Russia, yeah, it's going to cause prices to go up. Yes, it's going to hurt American citizens. Yes, it's going to cause economic pain for American citizens. But their argument is that we have to pass this bill in order to honor Lindsey Graham.
That is not a joke, by the way. I'm not joking. That is their argument. Their argument to the Democrats. I can't believe I'm siding with the Democrats. But their argument to the Democrats, who are sounding logical, is look, yeah, prices are going to go up for the American people, but we got to honor Lindsey Graham. Yep, we got to honor Lindsey Graham. Got to blow everything up, but it's an honor of Lindsey Graham. American people, prices are going to go up. Things are going to get even more difficult. But don't complain. It's in honor of Lindsey Graham. Clown world. Clown freaking world. We also have reports from the New York Times, which claim that the Trump administration is very wary of using sanctions like the ones proposed by Lindsey Graham, the now dead Lindsey Graham and his bone-crushing bill, using those types of sanctions could lead to countries moving away from the U.S. dollar. It could weaken the dominance of the USD. And so, and now the Trump administration is realizing this. So they don't want to abuse sanctions like the Lindsey Graham type of sanctions, because it's going to lead countries away from the U.S. dollar. They've just now figured this out. I think you guys are a little bit too late. But look, it's a signal that they're throwing out through the New York Times, where they are basically telling Congress, the Trump administration, I believe, is telling Congress, yeah, okay, honor Lindsey Graham, bone-crushing embargo sanctions on Russia, but, you know, let's not do this. Not because it's going to hurt the American people, but because we don't want to lose empire. We don't want to lose dollar dominance. So that's the messaging that the Trump administration is putting out there through the New York Times. Russia is warning Japan on drone cooperation. I am here in Athens at the Japanese Garden in the center of Athens, and Russia is telling Japan to knock it off with drones. Russia is putting out the allegation that Japan is providing Ukraine with drone parts and components and drone capability. And Russia considers this, because the drones are used to attack civilian targets and to kill Russian civilians, they consider this as Japan attacking Russian civilians. This is a big, big claim, a big allegation made from Russia. And if I was Japan, I would listen. I would definitely listen. This is coming from the deputy foreign minister, Andrei Rudenko, who said, "We are monitoring the situation with development of cooperation between Japanese drone manufacturers and Ukrainian developers of combat drones. Given Ukraine's systematic terrorist provocations using UAVs against civilian targets in Russia, we classify such cooperation with the Kiev regime as an openly hostile action. Ukrainian drones kill ordinary Russian civilians, and Tokyo is contributing to this," the deputy minister said. Tokyo, are you listening? You better be listening. You better freaking be listening. Cut out the drone crap with Ukraine. So there is a coup, a possible coup, that could be shaping up in Kiev. We got protests in many cities, which continue to grow. Protests that started off out of anger over the firing of the defense minister Fedorov. And now the protests are demanding that the military commander, Syrsky, be fired. So that is what the protesters want now. They want Syrsky gone. Fedorov is not going to come back. Everyone realizes this.
It would be extremely weak for Le Gobelin Vert to backtrack and to bring Fedorov back as defense minister. The drone whiz kid. But what the protesters are now demanding is that at least Sirski be fired, because there was tension, there was conflict between the traditional military, which is Sirski, and the old school generals, and let's say the new tech military, which was represented by Fedorov. Drones and Palantir and that other guy, Lucky Charms or whatever his name is, the new tech, the tech military MIC. So there was that tension between new MIC and traditional MIC in Ukraine, and they were fighting for control of the money flow. That's basically what this is all about. This entire a story that's developing, the tension that we now see in Kiev, the rumors of a coup, the rumors of Sirski being fired, the protesters demanding that Sirski be fired, Fedorov being fired. What this all boils down to is these two factions, old MIC and traditional MIC and new tech MIC, fighting for control of the military budget, which is massive. It's huge. I read today that Ukraine's military budget will be around $100 billion. $100 billion. And when they put out a number like that, an official number of $100 billion, I believe it was $98 billion to be more precise. When that number is thrown out there, double or triple it, and you probably get to the real number. So we're talking about a lot of money that these groups are fighting for. And then, of course, you have Le Gobelin Vert, who's kind of in the middle of all of this. And his concern is, well, money, of course, right? Of course, yeah, Le Gobelin Vert and his gang. But Le Gobelin Vert also did not like the fact that Fedorov was getting a lot of attention. And he was afraid that Fedorov, the drone whiz kid, might sometime in the future challenge him for power, or he would be removed or replaced by Fedorov. So that was the Gobelin Vert's big concern. But the Financial Times is reporting Zelensky considers sacking commander-in-chief as protests swell. Crisis engulfs military after Ukrainian president dismissed his popular defense minister. These protests are not grassroots, by the way. I mean, this is not some type of grassroots uprising or anything like that. It's like the Maidan. These protests are engineered. I would guess that many of these protesters are being paid to be out on the streets. That would be my guess. Not all of them, but I would guess there's a certain percentage of protesters that are making some money to be out on the streets. It happens in Greece all the time. Protesters are paid. It's like a job, like a profession. They're paid to, professional protesters are paid to go out on the streets by various NGOs or opposition political parties or whatever. But in this instance, I imagine that the new tech MIC are probably funding many of the protesters that are calling for Sirski to be canned. And I imagine that Sirski will be fired. And that will be Zelensky's way to keep his position as president, to have Fedorov, to not worry about pressure to bring Fedorov back. So Fedorov will be gone. So he removes his competition. Sirski's been very loyal to Le Gobelin Vert, but he will have to be sacrificed. And how they divide the money up, this I don't know how they're going to do it. What will the new tech MIC get? What will the old tech, the traditional MIC, what will they get when it comes to the military budget? I imagine that this is what's being negotiated. This is what's being worked out. 10% for the big guy and all of that stuff. As far as the globalist cool kids and the EU, look, for them, this has been this whole drone thing, Fedorov, whether he stays, whether he goes, for them, they've accomplished their goal, which is that they've managed to get the drone narrative out there. They've managed to take 60 billion of the 90 billion, which is essentially what the EU is doing now. They're saying, look at how successful the new drone tech, the military drone stuff is, and we're going to need it in order to fight Russia and to defend ourselves. So of the 90 billion that we're gifting to Ukraine, 60 billion of that is going to go to military spending. And much of that money is going to be allocated to drone facilities. And where are those drone facilities going to be located? They're going to be located inside the European Union. So in a way, the EU has used this whole drone thing to keep the money that they're taking from the people, and they're allocating to this 90 billion loan to Ukraine. They're able now to take that money and keep it inside the European Union in the hands of the globalists, right? Of the military industrial complex, of the facilities that they're going to allegedly build to manufacture drones. That's all going to be done inside the EU. And that's 60 billion of the 90 billion. So for the EU, the drone narrative is fine with them, keeps the war going. They can go to EU citizens, to the EU people, and say, yeah, your lives are going to get a lot crappier. Yeah, you're going to get a lot poorer. And we're going to invest all this money in drones. See how effective the drones are. They're causing fires in Russia. That's how effective they are. So we're going to need to take the 60 billion of the 90 billion, invest it in drone production. And that drone production will be inside of the EU. There you go. So that's the situation with all of that. Let's get into a clown world and we can wrap up today's video. First clown world has to do with Taco Bell. Taco Bell has, allegedly they have a parasite problem. The CDC has linked an explosive illness outbreak to shredded iceberg lettuce served at Taco Bell. More than 1,600 people who got sick reported eating at Taco Bell locations in 5 states, and the FDA says its investigation traced the lettuce to a single supplier in Mexico. Taco Bell is working to stop using the lettuce as investigators determine whether the contaminated product was distributed to other restaurants. That's horrible. That is absolutely horrible. Interesting choice of words from Fox News, an explosive illness, because it's not a laughing matter. It's actually really, really horrific what happens to you. But when you eat the Taco Bell, I guess, the reports are that you have a case of explosive diarrhea. And this goes on for about a week or two. No one has died from this, but it's a very, very uncomfortable, very serious parasite. And it comes from, allegedly, from this lettuce at Taco Bell. That is story number one. I don't have anything more to say about that. We can now go on to the next clown world. This one is a clown world. This next story really is a clown world. And this has to do with the U.S. ambassador to Italy, who is a mega billionaire. He is traveling around Italy on his mega yacht. And he is on a coastal diplomacy tour. And people in Italy are pissed off. They're very angry with the U.S. ambassador to Italy and his coastal diplomacy tour, marking the 250th anniversary and all of that stuff, and trying to mend relations between Trump and Meloni, Italy and the United States, all of that nonsense that took place, the theater that took place between Trump and Meloni. So this mega billionaire who owns from Houston, he owns the Rockets, he owns casinos, gambling outfits, stuff like that. He is using his mega yacht He's the ambassador of the United States to Italy as well. That's what makes this such a clown world. And he's using his mega yacht to go along the coast of Italy on a diplomacy tour and to meet with various Italian officials and American citizens and business people. They board his yacht and he talks with them. And I guess they spend the day on his yacht or something like that. And Italians, everyday Italians, are sick and tired of this, and they're protesting because this guy strolls into their city, into their port, and he causes all kinds of disruptions. You know, all kinds of security is needed and crap like that. And in Venice, they're holding a festival, and this guy came in with his yacht, and he caused all kinds of disruptions during the festival. And the people of Venice started protesting, and they clashed with police. 300 protesters clashed with riot police in Venice. This was on Friday with the arrival of U.S. Ambassador to Italy, Tillman Fertitta's $450 million mega yacht called the Boardwalk during the city's annual Redentore Festival, police say. What a joke, man. This is like a mega yacht, like a huge yacht. Helicopters can land on this yacht, you know, the works. And this billionaire, the ambassador to Italy, he says, look, why are people complaining? I'm paying for everything. This is not going on the U.S. government. I'm paying for this coastal diplomacy. But look, Italy and Italians, they have to pay for the security and they have to deal with the disruption. And the whole thing is just rude. It's just rude and arrogant. You're an ambassador. What are you doing on your freaking yacht, flaunting your billions and disrupting events, summer events, in the name of diplomacy? Nonsense. Let me find you some statements from Italians, some of the protesters. One demonstrator, Emmanuel Lepore, told Reuters news agency, it is almost strange that we have to struggle so much to make people understand that this city is not for sale as any other city where people are actually struggling just to live. A city which is constantly emptied of spaces, houses, public services, and welfare, and it is constantly sold out to billionaires. The ambassador has a net worth of, according to Forbes, of $11 billion. He owns casinos, sports teams. Fertitta says he is paying the yacht expenses personally for his family and his guests on board, but neither the U.S. Embassy nor Italian officials have revealed what has been spent by Italian taxpayers to ensure the security needed to protect him and his entourage. At each of the 13 ports of his itinerary through Labor Day, his plans include meeting with local business leaders, celebrities, and Americans on board the yacht, which has required extra security on board land and sea. I read somewhere in this article that in Venice, they were going to have a fireworks display. And then his yacht came into the port and blocked the view of the fireworks. Oh, my God. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We're on X. We're on Rumble and Telegram. Go to the Duran Shop. 26% off all merch. We have a summer sale going on. Check us out on Substack. And smash the like button, subscribe to this channel, and obliterate that hype. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.